Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio. I'm Hurling Down the Highway Edition. Yes, this is Hurling Down the Highway. It's okay. I'm not driving. Mr. T is driving, and he's got a license, and it's on a tag around his car. So I think we've got all our bases covered. This is actually Monday afternoon night. Mark Collin and I usually record the Monday afternoon show on Monday afternoon, right before the show, but I'm actually going to broadcast this on Tuesday, so we have our bases covered, but that's the show, and of course it's on the Republic Broadcast Network, and of course you want to go to RBN, click on the donate button, and send check, of course you want to go to nationalbugle.com, and download the Kosher Certified app, because you want to know what's kosher certified and what's not. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hello, Patrick. It's great to be here with you today. And it's very interesting. We're just not having a road trip, isn't it?
We are having a road trip. It's okay. I'm not driving. And Mr. T's got a lot of experience. So we're fine. We've got the bases covered. Now, I wanted to talk to you about something. You put out these weekly videos, and for anybody who's not watching your weekly videos, which are tend to be, what, about 15 minutes long, you're missing something, because they're very well done. They're always well done. They're always on an interesting topic. It's not the same stuff over and over again. And what was your video on last Friday?
Well, last Friday, it was basically expansion of something that we talked about during my show, Patriotic Weekly Review. It was actually about the issue of Greta Thunberg. Now, we talked about her for some time on the show, but we got quite an interesting response from some sections of the audience, so I really wanted to expand upon that and sort of lay out all of my thoughts in a clear, brief manner. Like in a very concise manner, so it was easy to share, easy to get in, because I do like long videos, I like informational videos, I like videos that if I'm doing the housework for a good hour, or doing the washing up, or I've got a big pile of ironing to do, I can stick on a video and listen to it for maybe 45 minutes or an hour, but I also like clear and concise videos, because they're good for a different reason, they're good for sharing, and I like my videos to satisfy the two different desires. We do a weekly show, Patrick, we review that for 2 hours, that's what people, we've got plenty of time to sit and listen to something more in depth. But I also like to have the shorter videos so that people can just dip into them, you know, get all the info they need and share those videos with families and friends. So hopefully they can be a gateway to greater understanding of what's going on in the world. I obviously cover a variety of different topics. Everything multiculturalism and mass migration, right through to movie reviews. And this week it got the issue of Greta Thunberg, and it was quite clear, the title of the view that it all really, it was called "It's Not Climate Change, It's Population." And I think that's very, very important, because at the moment we're being bombarded with the idea climate change that's destroying all. The world's under huge threat because the climate's changing, and this climate change is going to destroy thousands, tens of thousands of species, it's going to destroy ecosystems, and it's going to render the planet unlivable. Now, I believe, if we carry on down the current path, that yes, tens of thousands of species could be wiped out. I believe that plant ecosystems be destroyed, and I do believe that vast tracts of the planet will be rendered unusable or unlivable. But it's not going to be because of climate change. It's going to be because of population growth. It's going to be because there's far too many people on the planet, and all of those people need feeding, they need somewhere to live, they need consumer goods, and the resulting usage of land and pollution is what's causing this huge problem.
Right, and you know, to the extent there's climate change, and I make the case there is, it is a result of population. It's a result of population growth. So, now in your video, you talk about a lot of different types of environmental destruction, all of which are due to rising population. So, I mean, even if you were to somehow have a magic bullet for CO2 emissions, right, which were somehow going to stabilize the climate, you're still going to have this mass extinction event because of all of the other phenomena that you raise. And, you know, you wonder, well, why are they focusing now on climate change? And, of course, I'm old enough to remember when the focus was on population. In the late 60s, you know, Paul Ehrlich had a book, I think it was called The Population Bomb. It was, you know, my father, I think I've talked about my father taking me to a Smithsonian exhibit showing massive population growth. And, of course, the population of the planet's well more than doubled since then. Why the focus on climate change? And I'll tell you, I think, and I have reason to believe, very good reason to believe, that it's because if you focus on population growth, then the logical thing for people in Britain or from America to do is say, hey, if we're having trouble with population, why are you bringing in all of these other people into our country, right? And you see, in the 1990s, the Sierra Club, which was probably the largest environmental organization in the United States, it had an anti-immigration policy. And its Jewish donors, who I've mentioned on the show before, Mr. T, if he wasn't driving, then he'd be able to get me this information right now, but you can look it up. Their main Jewish donor, who had given them $250 million, said, if you keep talking about immigration, you're not getting another penny. So what about all of these other non-climate threats we have to our ecosystem and our environmental future? What are some of these other phenomena that are going on?
Well, I talked about many different things. I mean, one of the problems you've got here is over the last century, the world's population has grown almost fourfold, from just under 2 billion to just under 8 billion. So that's a massive, massive increase in population. And the sort of problems this causes, they're huge. You know, there's so many different problems caused by this. I mean, let me just point out one. This is something that people don't talk about very often, being a problem associated with population growth, but it absolutely is. Now, in the UK, we're constantly hearing about the problem associated Now, flooding is basically caused because too much water is flowing across the land, and it's flowing across too quick. So rather than being able to successfully run off into, you know, rivers, streams, lakes, it doesn't. It basically floods, and the rivers burst their banks. Too much water is reaching those rivers too quickly. Now, what holds up water? What prevents water reaching rivers, streams, lakes too quick? What slows it down? Well, foliage, tree cover, you know, hedges, grass, shrubs, all manner of natural plant material is what traditionally holds up water flow. Now, when you chop down forests, when you clear meadows, when you get rid of hedgerows, when you concrete over everything, when you tarmac over everything, when you put houses down, all of a sudden, water runs off very rapidly. So if you have higher than average rainfall, which does happen quite often, especially here in the UK where it's quite rainy, water runs off everything far quicker because there's not all of that greenery to hold up the flow. So it all reaches the rivers, the all that. But all of a sudden, you've got all these people wanting to build more houses. Well, we need more houses. We need more houses. Why do we need more houses? Oh, well, the population's growing. The indigenous population's not growing. White people are in decline. Oh, well, so why do we need more houses? Well, we need more houses because immigrants are coming here in record numbers. And those immigrants also breed at a record rate. So we need more houses. We need more houses. So we're cutting everything down. We're building all of these houses. And all of a sudden, you're having to also build these houses on floodplains. Now, usually, you build houses on higher ground. You build houses away from floodplains. The last thing you want is settlements, you know, on floodplains next to rivers, because those settlements have got a high chance of being washed away. But, you know, when there's nowhere left to build, you have to build there. And the floodplains are only getting larger because the chances of flooding have become larger. So everything's getting worse and worse and worse. And that's a problem that doesn't usually get associated with immigration, that doesn't usually get associated with housing. It's a problem that the papers are constantly talking about. You know, in the last few years, the British press have been associated with record floods, you know, people losing their homes, the human tragedy of all this extra flooding. Well, the human tragedy that is caused by this extra flooding is not actually being caused by floods. Trace the cause back. The cause of this human tragedy is mass migration, which has caused the clearing of the land, which has caused the building of the homes, which has caused the tarmac and concrete to go down, which has caused the water to run off, which has caused the flooding. You know, it's cause and effect. If you trace it all back, it's population growth. And as I said, population growth isn't indigenous people. It's not white Europeans. It's places like Africa. Now, if you look at Africa, Africa's already up 1.16 billion people. But by 2050, that's going to reach 2.4 billion people. So almost double in size. And population experts are already warning that 200 million of those Africans will be heading to Europe. And I think that's probably a conservative estimate. You see, the thing with Africa is, if they're already struggling to feed 1.216 billion people, they're really going to be struggling when it's 2.4 billion.
Mm-hmm.
So these people are going to be leaving. They're going to be leaving en masse. They're going to be to Europe. So if you think the floods are bad now in England, what are the floods going to be like when the population hates 90 million? When Britain have its, in inverted commas, fair share of the 200 million Africans heading to Europe. Now, when I say fair share, I don't think fair share. Our fair share of those Africans is zero. I don't want any of them here. But they are coming. They will be coming here. Population experts have said they'll be coming here. And by that time, I'm sure we'll be signed up to some insane treaty, which will give us a quota that we will have to take on. You know, and that's just a small part of it. You know, and then when you expand what I'm saying, when you clear green spaces, you clear green areas, you clear trees, meadows, hedges, you're destroying all these other indigenous species. You know, in the UK, we've lost so much of our hedgerow life. We've lost hedgehogs. We've lost badgers. You know, I saw a beautiful fox dead on the road. The thing about it always upset me, you know, it's a beautiful, elegant fox dead. Because, you know, we've got all these busy roads running through what should be his home. And that makes me sad. That's not good. But all of these problems are happening all over the West. And these are the real issues. And obviously these problems are also mirrored sometimes. You know, are problems to an even greater degree in places like Africa. Because you've got this rapidly growing population. And what's it causing? Well, the Sahara Desert is growing in size. Why is the Sahara Desert growing in size? Well, desertification is actually a process that is rapidly sped up because of overpopulation. Because the more goats you have running around eating the, you know, the foliage, the less foliage there is, so the desert grows. You know, the more people there, the more people are chopping down trees. The more land that you overfarm, the more land turns to desert. You know, and this is another issue. Farming, that's very nice thing. The farming, we used to use natural methods of farming. We used to use something called crop rotation. People don't know what crop rotation is. situation is when you plant one crop for a seed. Now that crop takes certain nutrients out of the soil. Now, in the second, you then plant a different crop, which will take a different nutrient out of the soil. So now your soil is becoming nutrient deficient. So in the third year, so we've had 1 year of the first crop, 1 year of the second crop. In the third year, you leave the field fallow and you graze. In the fourth year, you leave the field fallow and you graze it. So the animals that graze, they eat the grass, they defecate, they go to the toilet, which is a natural fertilizer, but over time, the soil regains its fertility, and then in the fifth year, you start the cycle again. And that's a natural way of farming.
And if I can just interject for 1 second, you know, what you were describing, this is the essence of the agricultural revolution, which actually predated the industrial revolution. There was in Britain, there was an agricultural revolution where they started putting these principles to work. And for my fellow boomers who remember the 1970s and the band Jethro Tull, that band was named after this agriculturalist who is considered the godfather of the agricultural revolution, Jethro Tull. British. I just thought I would mention that. Were you aware of Jethro Tull, Mark?
I am aware of Jethro Tull, the band. I am, actually, but I'm not aware of Jethro Tull, the agriculturalist. So,
well, you are now.
I have learned something new today, Patrick. And it's, you know, these things that we're talking about, they are a natural process of crop rotation. It is natural, it is healthy, good for the land, it's sustainable. That's the key word, sustainable. But now we've got too many people, so we can't afford to field fallow for 2 years. So every year crops have to be grown on that soil. So the soil is just losing nutrients year on year, so how can you get good crop yields? Well, then you have to pour fertilizers on the seed. Well, fertilizers are derived from a petrochemical process. So they're not good for the land. You have to use herbicides, you have to use pesticides, you have to use fungicides, which are more chemicals. And these chemicals often break down, they wash away with rainwater, they get into the water supply, into the rivers, into the streams, into the estuary, they cause algal bloom, which destroys marine life, they poison hedgerow life, they destroy the bee population. Because again, we're now talking short-termism. And this short-termism means grow as much as you can in the short term to feed the booming population. But in doing so, not only destroy the soil and the land and the surrounding wildlife, but you also poison and destroy your marine ecosystem and your water supply too. Have to do that to keep all of these people alive. And we do have finite resources of land, and I get people pushing back again. There's a certain degree of crank seem to believe this nonsense that the globalists are trying to kill off the population, that somehow the planet's meant to have, you know, 10 billion people, and that's good, that's normal, it's sustainable. But it's the globalists who want to kill them off. Well, that's complete nonsense, because if the globalists are all powerful, as these people proclaim, and the globalists plan, remember the globalists are all powerful, and they've got a plan to kill off the population, but the population's grown fourfold under the last 100 years of growth.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. with all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation. And Angioprim is the result, a safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now to Angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com. Or to speak with a trained consultant, give Angioprim a call at 954-882-7221. That's 954-882-7221.
Told, oh, we need
just want to interject for a second. The question is the economy here for the people, or are the people here for the economy? And because of the dedication to chasing a ever-growing GDP, as far as our rulers are concerned, whether it's their plan or just their stupidity, the people are here to serve the GDP. They're here to serve the economy. You hear the same rhetoric even from Donald Trump. So that's a really important point.
It's a very important point, but also, you've got to ask yourself this. Well, I'm going to say, I'm not going to ask anyone anything. You know, the fact is, money is meant to exist to serve the economy. Money should serve the economy. But then the economy exists to serve the people. That's the way round. It should work. So money is a tool that serves the economy. The economy is a tool that serves the people. But at the moment, that's being turned its head. It's actually being completely reversed. So at the moment, the people serve the economy, and the economy serves money. The money itself is God. So we put this GDP figure on a pedestal. And as long as GDP keeps growing, these politicians keep smiling and putting their hands and saying it's all great. But really, are we increasing quality of life? Well, no. You know, we might have a rising GDP because millions of Africans are coming to the West, but are those millions of Africans making life better? And when our people are squished in high-density housing in an area full of African migrants, where floods are increasing, there's no green space, farmland's being polluted, we've lost hundreds if not thousands of indigenous species, what are people going to say? Well, at least GDP went up last year. You know,
yeah, GDP will go up with the population. Here's a fun fact. You're talking about Africans. So Nigeria has a larger GDP than Ireland. Well, Nigeria's got 150 million people or so, and Ireland's got maybe, 5 million people? Well, who's going where? The Nigerians go to Ireland. Irish don't go to Nigeria. Doesn't matter how big the GDP is. The life in Nigeria is awful. And it's going to be awful in Ireland if they keep bringing over all those Nigerians.
Exactly. I couldn't have said it better myself, my friend. And these are all such important points. And when you look at this on a global scale, and you look at the extinction of all these different species. Scientists, and I was aware of this years before Greta Thunberg made this speech, I was reading about this years ago, and it's called the sixth great extinction. You see, we've had numerous extinction events happen throughout the history of the planet. The last great extinction before the one we're living in being when a meteorite landed in Mexico and wiped out majority of animal life on the planet. Now, since then, animal life has bloomed again, and now we're living in what's classed as an extinction period. Now, extinction is obviously a very loaded word. It brings a lot of things to mind. And there is a natural rate of extinction, which is called the background rate. Naturally, animals go extinct every year. If you took humans out of the equation, naturally something like 5 species would go extinct every year. That is a natural process called the background.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last two decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendivite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The seven herbs in Extendivite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendivite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendivite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Animals go extinct every year. If it wasn't, if you took humans out of the equation, naturally something like 5 species would go extinct every year. That is a natural process called the background rate of extinction. But at the moment, we see it, something like 1,000 species go extinct every single year. And that is very, very worrying. We're doing untold damage to all of these species of animals and plants. We're destroying natural ecosystems. And we're doing all this because we've placed population in places like Africa, the Indian subcontinent, elsewhere in the developing world, on this pedestal. And we're giving these countries so much aid, so much medical care, that their population is growing uncontrollably at the detriment of everything else.
So, I don't want to get jet-setter on people, but I do fly from time to time, and I always get a window seat. And I've learned so much by looking out of airplane windows. And you look down, and if you're flying over the continental United States, especially east of the Mississippi, when you look down, pretty much all you see is human artificially created habitat. So largely farmland, mostly farmland, but you see the suburbs, you see the residential areas, you see city, and very little nature. Now, if you're west of the Mississippi, there's also a lot of farmland. Eventually you get the Rocky Mountains, you know, the mountains, the deserts, areas that you talked about in your video as being more or less beyond human habitation. So you do see those areas, but a huge amount of the land surface that can be either habitated or, you know, used for food production, it is, and it's transformed, and it's not nature, and the animals and plants that used to have that as a habitat no longer have it as a habitat. It's now the habitat for corn or soybean or cattle or whatever for these few crops. And of course, that is going to have a massive impact. We're crowding out all these species. And then also, I've flown over 30 years ago, flew over, Sumatra, Borneo, and you look down there, and there was lots of jungle, but you also saw it burning. Why was it burning? Because it was slash and burn agriculture. The exploding population was pushing people to burn down the jungle in order to clear it for agriculture. And of course, that's happening. It happens in the Amazon. It happens in the Congo. And one last point I'll make is, with the African population set to quadruple this century, there will be no more African megafauna. There will be no more elephants, rhinoceros, gorillas. There will be no more. And nothing that Greta Thunberg or her backers or the whole global warming alarmist, nothing they're saying is going to do anything to save the megafauna or any of the other species.
Well, of course it's not. And the reason is not. And I just want to give some facts about what you're saying, actually. You made such a great point. I do actually have the facts. 71% of the Earth's surface is covered in water. So it's either oceans, it's lakes, it's streams, it's rivers, it's estuaries. 71% we can't live on. That's totally, well, you can have some floating habitation, but let's say, you know, you can't live on that. It's more or less incompatible with large-scale human habitation. You might have a small number of huts, you know, above rivers, you know, in certain places, but generally not habitable. Then, of the 29% that's left, you have 33%. So, a third of what is left is what are classed as deserts. Now, there are hot and cold deserts. There are hot deserts like the Sahara and the Gobi Desert. There are cold deserts like large parts of Greenland and Antarctica. You can't live there in both places. Well, so they're off limits too. So you can see there's only a very small amount left. Now, of the small amount left, of the landmass, of the landmass that is actually land, of the area of the planet that's actually land, of the part that is land, another 24% is mountains. So of that 29% of the world that's land, 33% is desert, 24% is mountains, which leaves you with 43%, which is actually fit for living on. But that is also area that is to be fit for farms. It's also area which has to be fit for woodland, that has to be fit for forests, that has to be fit for nature, that has to be fit for recreation. And I certainly don't want to be living in a world that's just one big soulless concrete jungle that looks like something out of, you know, a dystopian sci-fi novel where we're all living in these mega blocks, you know, that are hundreds and hundreds of stories high and we look out onto the concrete. That's not how I want to live. I like open spaces. I think people function better in nature, in green spaces. I think people are less depressive. I think people feel better about them. I think a better quality of life out in the countryside than there is in the city. I think cities are quite soulless, and they reduce people to being less than people. You know, life shouldn't be squishing yourself into a pod that costs $1,200 a month, only to leave that pod to get on a packed train, to spend an hour surrounded by sweaty people stuffed in like sardines, to get to another pod where you do 9 hours of soulless work, only to repeat that journey home and get back in your $1,200 a month pod so you can watch Netflix before you repeat ad infinitum for the rest of your life. That isn't living. That barely exists. But you see, no one's talking about the problem that we're talking about. No one's talking about population growth. No one's talking about looking out of the plane window and seeing everything just completely eaten up with concrete. No one's talking about the problem of feeding 8 billion people. No one's talking about the growing Sahara Desert. People don't really want to talk about the problem of the loss of wildlife in Africa. You see, if you talk about these problems, you have to tackle population. Indian subcontinent, the developing world. It's not a problem. So all of a sudden, Europeans aren't guilty. In fact, the only thing Europeans are guilty of is their own outrage. They're guilty of sending aid to these places. They're guilty of giving Medicare to these places. They're guilty of boosting the population. They're not guilty of destroying the planet. They're just guilty of being too kind. So they created climate change so they can, again, the blame fall on the West. They created climate change. So we don't have to talk about the racist policy of third world population growth. Instead, we can have a go at Westerners for using plastic straws, or we can have a go at people in the West for, you know, driving their car or leaving the engine on when they're sat going through the drive-through at McDonald's or something. You know, we can have a go at the British family who takes one foreign holiday a year because they're flying. You know, that is what we do. And all of this, again, what does it promote? It promotes white guilt. So you've got this booming population that's causing the problem. You're blaming white people for climate change. You're not even talking about population growth. So all these guilt-ridden whites, what conclusion do they jump to? You hear young people saying, planet's dying. It's man-made climate change. Should we have less kids?
Well, yeah. And I was subjected to this even a generation ago. And I bought into it. I thought, oh, I don't want to have kids because, you know, the world doesn't need any more people. And this is the type of thing that white people in particular really are subjected to, really are vulnerable to. And now Asians, East Asians stopped having kids as well. But I don't think it is because of altruism. I think it's through, you know, other mechanisms, which we don't need to go into here. But, yeah, that's it. And you know, the, people that wind up coming here, from Africa in particular, or from Bangladesh, are they, I guess they adopt our Western values and stop having kids right away. Isn't that the case in Britain?
Sorry?
I was being facetious. I was saying, you know, the Africans and the Bangladeshis who wind up coming to Britain, for instance, once they set their foot on magic British soil, they also gain that altruism and think, oh, I don't want to fill up the world with children because of climate change, and so we're going to stop having children. That's how it works, right?
Yeah, I thought that was what you said. That's why I asked. Like, no, but I realized now you're being sarcastic. Of course, they come to the West, and they carry on breeding like that. That's why we're being outbred in the West. And, of course, as they outbreed us here, our population grows, and we do just as much damage to the Western climate as they've done to the climate in Africa, as they've done to, not the climate, sorry, the ecosystems in Africa, you know, the ecology of Africa. We're doing exactly the same damage here because of our growing population, which is driven by migration and the, you know, rate of breeding of migrants. Now, all of this is just such an incredible act of subterfuge, because you're actually, you've got this little girl, this 16-year-old girl, and when I say little girl, you know, 16-year-old girls aren't really little girls.
But she's kind of a little girl.
Yeah, she looks very much like a little girl, she talks like a little girl, acts. So if you saw her, I would have thought she was 13 or 14.
Yeah.
She looks a lot younger. She looks a lot younger than she is. She's there, pulling on everyone's hearts. And, you know, she's blaming the Western world. She's lecturing the Western world. And she's being used as kind of this emotional weapon to, again, make us all feel guilty. And she's being pushed so heavily. You know, everyone's listening to this speech. You know, I've got friends, you know, I see them saying, oh, this speech, it almost brought me to tears. You know, it makes you wonder, doesn't it, that what we should all be doing, you know, how we can change the world, how we can put this right. And she's lecturing these people, and they're crying their eyes out. They're saying, oh, you know, it's everyone that needs to get rid of the plastic straws. Well, why aren't they going to be white teen Indian? Because if she's talking about plastic and plastic straws, the whole rivers and estuaries in India and Bangladesh that are literally just floating garbage dumps. Literally floating garbage dumps. She's talking about problems that are tiny in the West compared to how they're manifested in China. In China, people wear face masks and they have smog so bad, but people in their cities wear masks to filter the air because the air pollution is so toxic that normal citizens, you know, can't breathe the air. There's mass landslides in China because of acid rain, because there are no laws on the pollution or very few. There are entire river systems in China that are so polluted that all marine life has been destroyed. So you've got places like India where, you know, there's this huge amount of plastic. You've got places like China where there's this huge problem with acid rain, smog, and a complete, almost complete lack of regulation for the manufacturing. Then you go to places like Africa where there's poaching, mass pollution, you know, there's dumping of all manner of horrible stuff, you know, just in landfills that you'd never allow in West. Yet Greta Thunberg isn't going to those countries. She's not lecturing fairly. She's not trying to make the Chinese feel bad. She's not making Indians feel guilty. She's not saying to the African population, these rhinoceroses, you're poaching the elephants to extinction. She's not saying that. She's saying, you know, why don't all you Indians go out onto the onto your beaches by the mouths of these estuaries and pick them so you save all the turtles, marine life? She's not doing that because she's not actually trying to solve a genuine problem in any way. She's not trying to solve the real problem, which is population. And if she is trying to stop ecosystems being destroyed, if she is trying to stop the destruction of these ecosystems she claims to care about, she isn't lecturing the people who are doing the most damage to them. Because here in the West, we are not perfect by any means. I'm not saying we are. But our regulation on polluting the environment, our regulation on what goes into landfill, our regulation on emissions, cars, factories, are much, much more stringent than anything seen in China, India, or the Third World. So we're already on board with what she's saying. We've been on board with this for years. It's the rest of the world. But she's ignoring the rest.
Yeah.
Because again, I'll repeat my point, this is another push for increased white guilt.
It is. And of course, then they make the... with that white guilt, they then say, well, you know, you're responsible for falling food production in these countries because of climate change. They're not producing the food, or because of climate change, you know, they're being dislocated from their jobs, and so you have to bring them here. Well, and of course, there's no real basis to those claims anyway. But you know, here's something. So, and I don't mean to pick just on Africa exclusively. You can say the same about, you know, India, Bangladesh, a lot of other places. But, you know, Africa in particular, though, does have this exploding population like no other place on Earth. And so they're projected by the end of the century to have somewhere over 4.5 billion, going on 5 billion people, which would be half the world's population. Now, especially with the indigenous European population falling, and Europe does seem to be the main destination for African migrants, you know, a few hundred million, you could have like a few hundred million, half a billion Africans would overwhelm Europe. They would overwhelm Europe, and it would still barely make a dent in Africa's own population because it's growing so fast. And here's one other thing. You take an African or Bangladeshi, they come to Great Britain. Does their presence there
increase the food supply, the food production in Great Britain. No. If anything, it decreases it because you have a tendency to switch land from agricultural production.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Great Britain? No. If anything, it decreases it because you have a tendency to switch land from agricultural production into, you know, residential usage. So you're actually, and Britain for a couple hundred years probably, well over 100 years, has been a net importer of food. So you're bringing people into Britain or other, first world countries, and then you're raising their consumption. So the people who are moving, they're consuming more. They wind up consuming more. They consume more food. They consume more energy, lots more energy. They consume all sorts of more product. So moving them here, if anything, it has the negative. It has an adverse impact on, you know, climate change and all other environmental problems, having them move here. So the whole thing is just a giant mess. Now, Mark, we only have a few minutes left. I do want to say to our audience, once again, you need to check out Mark's videos on a weekly basis because he does really, really good work. And he does good work not just communicating problems to people and enlightening people, but also he's got a really good sense for political strategy, real good leadership skills. And you can be a good analyst, but not have that kind of sense. So, you know, I feel really fortunate to have you come on the show on a weekly basis. So I want you to, you know, summarize whatever you want to summarize, but also, how can people support your work?
Well, thank you for saying that, Patrick. It's very, very kind of you. And yes, like, I do a video every week, and the channel, as I said, is aimed at both people who are already on board, but also to people who aren't on board, who haven't considered our ideas. And I try to do my weekly video in a very concise, informational manner. So if you do want to sort of share it with your family, if you do want your family and friends to look at it and be like, oh, well, that's a gateway to our movement. That's what those short videos
and are. They're really good. Because they're short. People are willing to watch. People are willing to watch a 10 or 15 minute video, and they are very normie friendly.
Well, that's what I mean. I love doing these shows with you. I love doing the shows with Dr. David Duke. I love doing my own show, Absolutely Weekly with you. But I realise that those kind of shows are all for people who have already got on board, who are looking for something meatier, bigger, longer to consume. But these smaller snippet videos, hopefully, are what can convert people. If people want to support my work, you can go on over there, subscribe to my channel, you can follow me on all the regular social networks. But you can also visit my own website, www.thefallofwesternman.com, and there you can download my book for free, or you can buy a copy if you want, and make sure you do subscribe more, because we're not just doing internet activism anymore, we're not just doing shows. We're also holding conferences, we're holding real-world activities, we are holding activities where we go and reach out to normal people. So we're not just meeting amongst ourselves, preaching to the choir, we're actually going out and engaging with people on the streets. We're doing real-world activism because we want to grow this movement. And we're not just here to talk about the unfortunate death of the West, we're here to ensure that we turn this around so the West.
Yeah. Hey, one last thing. You know, when I'm trying to red pill somebody, honestly, on a particular topic, I am more likely to send them a link to a Mark Collett video than to one of my own programs, because they're really good for that purpose. So thank you so much for coming on, Mark. And who's your guest on Patriotic Weekly Review on Wednesday?
Well, thank you so much for having me, Patrick. Thank you for all the kind words. I really do love starting my week with National Bugle Radio. But this week, we have the one and only Iconoclast. He has a massive channel, he's hugely popular, and he's never been on before. So it's going to be a interview first.
Okay, sounds good. And be sure to tune in again next time for another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations. A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands. And a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.